Is there anyone that did not receive a handout when they come in? That's wonderful. That's because you now have become accountable. But at the beginning of the year, directions came to the prayer center that this year, unlike any other year, or possibly the most important thing for this year, is for us to begin to walk in the truth of the truth that we've already heard. So this reminds me of a study hall that I had in school, and you probably had in school also, where you went to class, you listened to the teacher as much as you possibly could, kept good notes, and then they give you a period of time where you were able to study those notes. How many of you were diligent to study the notes when you had study hall? Let me see your hand. You're really telling me the truth? Well, I was one of those students that did not use the study hall to study. I was more interested in everything but studying. I don't know how far we're going to get in this document this morning, but I do know this, that you need to keep your copy, because hopefully you will keep notes in this study hall. And incidentally, there's no cheating. You can't read my notes. Or I can't do the studying for you. When I first, when I began to read the present-day speakings of the Lord as a group, when it was first prepared, I was reading through them, and the Lord brought an experience that I had recently on Christmas Day sort of as a parable. He had me in mind when he said it, and it came forth as a caution, but I feel as though that I'm to share it this morning. And I'm not looking at a single one of you. I can't walk back and forth with my eyes closed, so I have to keep them open. At our home on Christmas Day, we have four of our children, and they all bring their family. And so I believe we have, let's see, three plus. We have five children or grandchildren that are under the age of 14. So in our home, the tradition is that we exchange names for everyone over a certain age, and the individual that gets my name buys me a present so that we don't have to spend completely out of budget to buy everybody a gift. But if you qualify under the age of, I believe it's 14, then everyone buys them a gift. Not an expensive gift, but the sharing, the showing of love. And every child under that age buys everybody a gift. It could be a pack of gum. It could be whatever was in their heart that they wanted to share with that individual. So we have Katie And I believe Katie is two. Are you laughing at me or with me? Okay. So she's four. Her sister is, I believe, six, but that's close enough, whatever. And then we have one that's 11 or 12, and et cetera. I was sitting there, especially watching Katie, and someone would go get a gift out from underneath the Christmas tree, and they would take it to Katie, and they would give it to her. And she is somewhat aggressive when it comes to gifts. And she would rip or not be gentle for sure and tear apart and get to the treasure that was inside. She wasn't much concerned about the paper. She wasn't much concerned about the ribbons. She wanted what was inside. The moment that she found out what was inside, and she looked at it, a smile came across her face. It was something that she was wanting, whatever it was, unless it was socks or underwear or something like that. And she would immediately take it and put it in her pile and begin to have her eyes look for the next one and the next one and the next one. And the Lord brought that before me because of the amount of treasures and the amount of gifts that He has brought to the prayer center. Just since the beginning of this year, that I have had a tendency, me personally, you probably not, maybe, I want the next one. 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 One of the major things about redeeming time, we're not going to share that this morning or even try to teach it, but one of the cornerstones of redeeming the time is slowing down. Is slowing down. So if you enjoy this morning, because we're not under law, we've proven that with all the snow days that we've had that we haven't had services. If you enjoy this morning, fine. If you don't, there's no law or rule that you have to come next Sunday. But we are going to slow down. There's no attendance taken, incidentally. So you're not tardy. It won't show up on your report card, at least here. And nor will you be looked down upon because you didn't make it. But we're going to slow down. And we are going to become disciples, disciplined followers. At least the opportunity is going to be there for us to be able to grow at a speed, line upon line, and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Because the Lord is after something this year, and as we get into these, you will see how pleased He is with each one of you. Did you hear that? He is really, really pleased with you. Beyond how pleased Dave is with you. Beyond how pleased Gary is with you. Beyond how pleased anybody is with you. He is more pleased. He is pleased to a point that is far above all you could ask or think. He's that pleased. Now the enemy has told you exactly the opposite. And he is an absolute bold-faced liar. There is not a single reproof or rebuke in all the words that he has said since the beginning of the year. You can go back to 2009. You can go back to 2008. You can go back to 2007. You can go all the way back to 1989, and you will not find a single time that he has not been pleased with you, because he is love and he keeps no record of wrong, etc., etc., etc. So let's try to get into the handout. The first page, I believe yours is on a single page. Let me look. Yeah. Okay. If you would like to turn to John chapter 8, verse 44. You don't need to turn to it as much as you need to record it if you're keeping notes. When you're up here and you have a mic and you begin to teach, you become almost awestruck at the inability you have outside of the Holy Spirit to share what he once shared. It's never comfortable to me. It's like walking a tightrope. There is so much that could be said. And he wants not to shoot a shotgun this morning, but he wants to shoot a rifle so that it lodges deep within your heart. So I'll read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20, and we'll start there. I would really like to start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. If you have begun to simulate it, begun to read it, knowing that you're only at the point of introduction to the whole book, possibly you're still at the title page as far as the revelation knowledge that's available. Taking, the cream off the top and taking one bite. That's where we are as a body, because that's what he has said as far as where we are in Ephesians. So let's begin and try to shoot a rifle. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be, that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And in John chapter 8, verse 44, it's the Lord Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Really, he's talking to the spirit of religion that were in them. And he was saying to all of them, without exception, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ephesians 4:21 says, as the Spirit is as the truth is in Jesus. If I was circling anything, I would circle the word in. And in John 8:44, I would circle the word in. Where we're headed is we're headed to a place that the truth is in us. And the enemy has absolutely no capacity to have any truth in him. He can speak it. He can even preach it. But it never is in him. And the truth was in Jesus because he was the way, he was the truth. Everything that came out of him came out from a place inside of him, in him. If I went around the room and challenged you and said, are you born again? And you would say, yes. And I'd say, no, you're not. You're not born again. And your spirit would say, rise up inside of you and say, yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No matter how many times I said it to the majority of you, you would say, I'm born again. I could walk away saying, she's not, she's not. I know she's not, she's not. And the bottom line of it is, it would never penetrate that place in you because you know you're born again. What we want to take is the whole book of Ephesians, and we want to get it in that same place. I don't want it here. I want it in me that I know that I'm seated in heavenly places. I know I'm sitting right in the throne room. It is not in me yet. But it has the full capacity to be in me just as much as I know that I'm born again. If I ask you, is Jesus Lord? Did he die on the cross? It's in you. It's in, no matter how much they would beat you, no matter if they put you under some kind of drug and asked you the question under the drug, there's only one thing that would come out of your heart, out of your soul, is, I'm born again. Jesus is Lord. That's where we want to get with the whole book of Ephesians. That's what where we have to get. Or that's where we are pressing towards that mark. To get it in us. To get it in you. You will have to go at a speed that is line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. What if you had in you, knowing that by his stripes you were healed? There would be no sickness in this room whatsoever, because when it's in you, it's life. When it's in you, it's power. When it's in you, it's strength. And you would walk in perfect health the rest of your life, no matter what he brought, because it was in you. How do you explain in you? I don't, to be honest with you, I will attempt, and maybe because the sequence of how the Holy Spirit works, maybe Dave and Gary will attempt. But I see that my born-again spirit absolutely knew that I was born again the moment it took place. At that same time, my born again spirit knew that I was absolutely healed. I was absolutely prosperous for the kingdom, incidentally. I was absolutely a son that quick. To merge my spirit man to my soul, so that my soul, my intellect, and everything else, and to merge them together to where they become one. At that point in time, it's in me. And it'll never leave. You can't take it from me. The enemy cannot touch me because it's in me and it's become one. That is the best way that I can explain the spirit of the mind. That somehow, by His grace and by a willingness on my part to believe the word that is truth, that is life, there's no darkness in it, no death in it. It's all life. It's all light. Somehow, I, by an act of my will, believe the truth to the point that it is sealed and it cannot be removed. That's where we're headed. How to get there? Let's go to Ephesians, on your sheet, Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's go to Colossians 3:10. And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. And go to Romans 12:2 that's on your sheet. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. To renew means to make something like new. And the word and your born-again spirit is trying to make you look new in the spirit. It requires renewing. It requires renewing. We've called it confession, and that is true. We've called it affirmations, and that is true. But it is a continual renewing. Renewing, 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 renewing. Okay. It's a life of renewing. As you have heard in the past, Smith Wigglesworth, he told anybody that wanted to listen, he told them that if they ever caught him without his Bible, that he'd give them $100, I guess. Or if he ever caught him going more than 15 minutes without reading it or quoting it or talking about it, he would pay them the same amount of money. Renewing. 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 Okay. Now let's go to the current day speaking that's on the bottom of the first sheet. I'm just going to read it. I would highly recommend after this service, during the week, if you keep your sheet and you do your homework, because it's a study outline, I would share it with your friends. I would spend time talking about it. I would begin to renew your mind. As we get more into what He has said, you will know that that's an instruction from Him, that we eat it, we sleep with it. I would also suggest that if you challenge any portion of them, If you don't, you're really not studying it, incidentally. I would challenge everyone. I would go to the Word, and I'd find where he has said it two or three times out of the Word. There's none in here that there hasn't been at least seven people approved, every single one of them. And two of the people are Dave and Gary. But I begin to eat it. I begin to sleep with it. I don't have much more to talk about than what he's talking about. On a scale of 1 to 10, I may be a half a point above. I may be at 0. But I am pressing towards that mark. Okay. Once again, the time has come for those who esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost as something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. What he says to one, he says to all. If you're reading that with me and you don't believe that that's you, that he has gathered you here, with his own arms unto himself, that is you. That is not someone else, though it is everyone else. It is you that he has gathered you here. His plan, his design, his desire, and his longings is for you to be here. And I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they may come your very life more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does the blood. It sort of sounds like it will be in us. Sort of sounds like it won't be outside of us. Sounds like it will be a merger of our born-again spirit with our soul. It sounds like it will be inseparable, like the marrow is to the blood. It is a mingling. All of that is possible because he said he was the one that was, how did he say it? I am rekindling an appetite in you. He's creating the appetite. Even if you may not be as hungry as you would like to be, he's still creating an appetite for you to become more hungry. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. With the measure that you give my word, that you eat it, that it becomes bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. Hear not my words in vain, for they are life unto you. My words are spirit, and they are life. They set the course of direction for your life to flow with my mind, says the Lord. set every word as in a stone upon your heart and upon your mind, that they can never be removed by the enemy. Are you born again? Yes. That is a stone within you as part of your foundation that can never be removed. That's where we're headed. My words are your life. My direction is your life, your provision, your anointings, your giftings. Everything that is in your inheritance is on the path of direction that I set for you, says the Lord. Heed my words. Regard them as most precious. Treasure them above all things, for they are your life. Let's go to the first word that he spoke, January 3rd, 2010. If you go through these and add scriptures, I would recommend that you also create a instructions sheet. Lord, you said this. That's an instruction for me. You said this. That's an instruction for me or for us. Sort of like a job description of what he wants to accomplish this season in your life and in all of our lives. It is where the prayer center is. I would be very careful if you have, if you've become or begun to live a lifestyle of sitting and listening and hearkening, you have developed the purest lifestyle for redeeming the time. Because when you're sitting, you've really slowed down. The prayer center and the family of the prayer center, really need to say the family of the prayer center, not the prayer center, because the family of the prayer center is becoming so large in multiple languages that it's such a beautiful thing to watch, because they have picked up by an act of their will and chose to walk in and live in what we call the message that's come to maturity. The unity that's being developed past all cultures, past all language barriers, the unity in the spirit is just phenomenal. I would say scary, but really it is holy. It is really holy what the Lord is developing. And it's all based on love, and it's all based on truth and everything else. Let's try to go to this first one. This was given, well, let's read it first. When you come to receive, then receive. The wording went something like this. Don't come just to be prayed for, but come to receive. Prayer is not a courtesy. Only the teacher that is standing at the blackboard could use the word and choose the word courtesy in this instruction. He's never used it before. It was delivered at the time of a grace line. And all of a sudden, he chose to give us revelation knowledge and the truth for each one of our lives when we pray. It wasn't just for the grace line. Now, I'm as guilty as you are, and I'm trying not to look at anybody. Maybe I should just look at the wall. There have been times, more frequently than I would like the Holy Spirit to remind me, that I have come to a grace line, and I have come with the attitude, well, let's just see what the Lord wants to tell me today. Or let's just see what he wants to heal today. I got plenty of things, you know. I have not come with the heart to receive. I have not come like the lady with the issue of blood that says, no matter what the crowd looks like, no matter what his disciples act like, I'm going to come and I'm going to receive. And there is nothing, no demon in hell, none of my friends, none of my enemies, nobody is going to keep me from what I want from my master. You talk about being angry and sin not. You talk about not letting the sun go down on your anger. Get out of my way. I'm going to receive my healing, says this lady. You notice she didn't touch his shoulder? You notice she didn't touch his hands. She said, I'll get as low as it takes. I'll crawl through all of hell and everybody else that's standing around him, because I'm going to touch some part of him, and I'm going to get down to where even if I touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to get what I want. Today, when there's a grace line, come with that attitude or come with that heart. And guaranteed, he's not going to say no. He doesn't have a no in him when it comes to meeting your need. He doesn't. There's not a no. There's not a no in him when it comes to wanting you to fulfill the call that's on your life. There's not a no. It's our attitude. It's our saying. And once again, I'm looking at myself more and I'm looking at you. There's many things that I want to receive from the Lord, but it seems like I've become lukewarm. Like it was the same way last year. So someday, Lord, you'll bring it. Instead of me saying, I'm going to get it now. Period. Because he's not withholding it. No, you can't have it. He's wanting you to have everything he is, everything that he has prepared for you. He wants you to have it. He longs for you to have it. Okay. Courtesy. Prayer is not a courtesy. It's not good manners. It's not polite. The word courtesy, I want it and get out of my way because he has it for me and I'm going to receive it. In your private prayer life, the same way. Our whole life. Okay. Let's go to the next one. I am looking for hearts that are willing to put off the old man for the new. That's Ephesians. Ephesians 4:22 through 4:25. For in the days ahead, there is much to do. If you think you're busy now, you are going to be more busy then, because there's much to do. And he's talking to every one of you. That's why he has said in the past, get rid of the old, make room for the new. That's why he has said, lay aside every sin that does so easily beset you and run. That's why he has said, the slow will go slower, the fast will go faster. On and on and on he has said, because there is much to do. There is much to do. How many times has he said, well, it'll be in here further down? How many times he's saying that everyone, every single one of us will be used. Every single person that's listening to me will be used to the fullest. We will be fitly joined together. Okay. Next line. We are closer than you think to the works I have been preparing in you. I, the Lord, have been preparing works in you for what's coming. Do you notice that he said, we, if you want to circle anything, we are closer than you think? He didn't say, you are closer than you think. He said, we together are closer than you think. Take a moment. Be honest with yourself. And how soon do you think revival is coming? Don't cheat, because you're only cheating against yourself. How close do you think revival is to coming? The answer to that question is not multiple choice. The answer to that question is, you're wrong. It's closer than you just thought. No matter what you thought, if you thought we're in revival, we're not. Because he said it's closer than you think. It's not here yet. Doesn't mean that we're not pressing. Doesn't mean that we don't already see fruit. Doesn't mean that he's not already preparing some of the works in all of us for it. But it is closer than you think. He says, it's coming. He's no longer talking about that it might come, or it can't come, or it's a long ways off. He's saying it's coming, and it's closer than you think, and we are in it, me and you. I'm right with you, and it isn't going to come without you, and it isn't going to come without me, the Lord. It's coming. And it's closer than you think. No matter what you think. Okay. It's closer than you think. The race is won by the swiftest. And the race is not finished. If I brought Steve up here, I'm not picking on Steve. It's only that I know that I can talk about him. And he won't be mad at me. If I brought Steve up here at a starting line, and I brought Joan up here, who is a lady, incidentally, and put her next to him and say, I want you to run around this building, and whoever gets back here first is the swiftest. Now, Joan rides a bicycle for however many miles a week, I have no idea, but guaranteed it would be no contest. Okay. Joan would win. So evidently, the Lord is not talking about the swiftest in the natural. He's talking about there is a place in Him that every one of us is equal at the starting line to be swift. All we have to do is get on the starting line and run. And run in the Spirit. Press towards the mark, if you want to call it that. Do the message. But the swift will win the race. And He's telling us that the race, how does He say it? And the race is not finished. Now He gives us instructions on how to run it. You're supposed to run, but how am I supposed to run? How am I supposed to become swift? Take the time with my Spirit. Isn't that something? Something brand new. We've never heard that before. Take the time with my Spirit and learn. And take heed to all He tells you. What has He told you in the last week, last 2 weeks, last month? What has He told you as to how to run your race to become swift? He's told you. He's absolutely told you. He is a commander in chief, and He gives complete instructions. And if you sit, listen, and hearken, He will give you instructions for how you are to run your race to become swift, because He wants you a part of this, and you are a part of this. Okay. You are entering into a new time of learning and seeing more clearly about my life in you. Take heed to my Spirit within you and all that He says to you. Many who have not heard will be hearing as they continue to move towards the truth, in truth. Praying much in the Spirit is times of personal tutoring by the Spirit of truth. Have you ever heard that before? Only God, I mean only the Holy Spirit, only my Father could say, I mean, while you're praying, I become your personal tutor, one-on-one, no matter how slow you are, no matter how dumb you think you are, no matter all of your weaknesses that you think you have, I'm a personal tutor. And it's you and me in the classroom, and I'm going to teach you. And incidentally, I never leave you. Never, ever, ever. I am not a substitute teacher. I'm not a substitute. I am the teacher. Many who have not heard will be hearing as they continue to move forward in truth. Praying much in the Spirit is times of personal tutoring by the Spirit of truth. He will move you past what has stopped you from believing I speak to you. I won't ask for a show of hands of the number of you that feel as though you do not hear God. There's your answer. And taking time to worship me will open places in you I have not been given access to and I can come to and I can come to restore you. Take heed to my spirit, for he has many things to say to you. I look for hearts that are open to take heed to what I have to say. In that present day speaking alone, he has said, take heed, 4 times. Take heed to this. Take heed to that. Take heed to this. Take heed to that. It's sort of like the teacher that is standing at the blackboard and he says, I'm going to give you all the answers to the test that you're going to have to take. So you don't have to read a whole bunch of things. I'm going to give you the answers. Make sure you write this down. Take heed to this one because it's on the test. Take heed to this one. Take heed to this one. Take heed to this one. Really simple. It has to be, at least for me. Make it really clear. Make it really plain. Okay, take heed to this. Take heed to that. Okay, the next one. We're going to go as far as we can. And that's not much farther. This will take some thinking. This will take some, all of it does. But this will take godly hope, let's put it that way. I want you to envision the igniting of a fire. Consider how a small spark can ignite and become a raging fire. And how it begins with such a small incident. I was going to bring some matches this morning, and I was going to strike a match and hold it up here and say, that's a small incident right there. That's really small, okay? But if I put it on a stack of paper or on dry wood, I can start a fire. When the revival begins, he's telling us it's going to start with a small incident. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Dream a little. Lord, what is that incident going to be? But I want to elaborate more on once the fire is started. Don't forget, in its infancy stage, before the fire erupts and it is only small embers that you are dealing with, I am the one who comes and blows on those embers until a flame ignites. I am the wind, and I do what you cannot do. You offer yourself up to me. That is what you do. I go beyond that. The wind of my Holy Spirit blows on your offering. I blow on it until it ignites. In closing, it's a good place to close. I'd like you to repeat after me. By an act of my will, I offer myself up to you. That is what I do. Nothing less. Nothing more. I offer myself up to you. See you in 30 minutes.